Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Yud Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. We've been discussing in our shiurim how one could affect the kinyan. And the Gemara begins, Boi Gufa, Ronai Sarah and Acha Metzia. We learned in our Mishnah that if somebody was trying to get hold of a Metzia, and we saw people trying to get that metziah. So the Mishnah differentiated between what is easily caught by the person who's trying to get it or not easily caught. The Mishnah differentiated between a deer with a broken leg versus a deer that's healthy. So begins the Gemara, we saw them running after a deer, and if the deer is broken leg, then it's not. If it could run, the same Mishnah differentiated between birds that could fly versus birds that can't fly. So the way to understand what the Mishnah is saying is that the halacha depends on shirotz achra megiyan. If the person who's running afterward could catch them before they run out of the field, then it will be a valid kinyan. But if not, it's not going to be considered a valid kinyan. So ask the Gemara, this din of our Mishnah, this rule that we learned in our Mishnah, referred to a metziah. Somebody's trying to get hold of a metziah. But the Gemara's question is, what is going to be the halacha by Reb Yirmiyah b'matanahech? What will be the halacha by a gift? Is it only considered that I take ownership of the gift, if I could catch it or not? Says the Gemara, Kabbalah Menei Rab Abba Bakahana. Rab Abba Bakahana accepted the distinction that they tried to make between a gift by a gift, and it's very much in line with what we discussed in our previous year, and that is the concept that when somebody's giving it to me as a gift versus a case of a metziah. We learned in our previous year, then it's much easier to make a kinyan. And therefore the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba Bakahana accepted that there should be a difference in halacha between those two cases. And therefore by a gift, even if it's a deer that I can't reach, al pi shirotz achreim, even though it's a gift that I run after, vein magin, and I can't reach it, it's still going to be considered a valid gift if it's a my chatzar. By Rava. So now Rava asked the next question. Zorak anaki b'pesach se. Somebody threw a wallet into somebody's house. The yotz of a pesach acher. And the person who had thrown the wallet said that anybody who takes hold of this wallet should become the owner of this wallet. The Gemara is questioned, mahu. What will be the halacha regarding ownership of this wallet? And the Gemara explains this question. Avish ain't sofich lenuach. It's passing through my home, but it's passing through my home, but it's not going to land in my home. Is that enough? Since it passed through the avra of my home, that it should become mine? Avish ain't sofich lenuach kemunach dami. Even though it's not going to land in my actual airspace, it's still considered as if it landed in my space, and therefore I become the owner, Aloy. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, Vamalei Rav Adav Amasin l'Rava, Vamalei Ravina l'Rava, Lav Heinu Masnisen. Isn't that the question that was discussed in our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah discussed, Raya Yisaron Ratzon Achmetzia. If we saw people that are trying to take hold of a metziah, and somebody said that my property in which this metziah is found should take ownership for me, when will there be a chin in chatzar? So we learned v'hu shirotz achra magiyan. When you run after that metziah and you can reach it, as we just described. The deer that really can't run, the birds that really can't fly, then I could become owner of those property. And we began today's shiur with the question, what will be the halacha of matana haich? Will the same requirements be by matana? And we learned a moment ago, the kiblim in a Rab Abba b'Kahana. Rab Abba b'Kahana accepted that matana by a gift, apish rotz akram ve'em magiyim, even though you run after it and you don't reach it, it becomes yours. So you see that a gift is different than a mitziah. Amalei, Sarava said that to the person who tried to bring an answer to the question, in the case of matana, misgalgal kamrit, you want to bring a raya from something that's running, that's rolling away. Shana misgalgal the kamenuch dami, the something that's rolling on the ground, that's considered as if it's on the ground itself, and therefore, in such a case, it's considered a valid kinyan, even if I can't reach it, as we learned by matana. But here, by this wallet, we're speaking about a case where it's not going to land in my property at all. Since it's not going to land in my property at all, it's a very different circumstance, and it could be that in those circumstances, it won't be considered a valid kinyan, even if it's not just a metziah. Says the Mishnah, metziah noya bita ektanim, something that was found by somebody's children, metziah avdei v'shivchasa kananim, or something that was found by somebody's eved kanani, shivcha kanani, metziah ishtoi, something that was found by wife, and as Rashi explains, we learned the Masechet Ksubos, that Chazal instituted that anything that a wife finds becomes the husband's because of Eva, that we don't want to have this disruption between the husband and wife in their shalom bayis. Another pshat that I saw that Ritva suggests is that if a wife will be entitled to keep the metziah, if a wife will be entitled to keep the metziah, then the halacha will be that whenever a woman has something, she will say that the reason she has it is because it's a metziah that she found. And she'll always have that valid excuse, and we could have a real issue, does this really belong to the wife or not? And therefore, Chazal said that even the metziah that a wife finds, harei ushloi, belongs to the husband. Metziah benoi ubita egdoilim, but if it's the metziah that was found by adult children, and the Gemara, of course, will explain this more, or metziah avdei v'shivchasa avrim, or if it was found by eved ivri shivcha ivris, that is amavria, which we no Jew could own another Jew. Here, the halacha is that metziah ishtoi shegersha, or you have a wife that you already divorced, and of course the Gemara will ask, if you divorced the wife, then it's obvious that she's no longer your wife. Why would we think that the metziah that she finds should be yours? Here, apish leinosan ksubasa, even if he hasn't yet paid out the ksuba, in all these cases, reil shulhen, it belongs to the finder. Amma Shmuel. So Shmuel explains, nebnei ma amru, why did Chazal teach us that metziah katan loviv, that anything that a child finds belongs to the father? Says Shmuel, shevishar shemoitza, when the child finds whatever he finds, meritza etzaloviv, he brings it to his father. He doesn't intend to keep it for himself. The eina ma'acher biyodei, he has no intention of keeping it for himself. Therefore, Chazal said that it automatically reverts to the father. And the Rishonim make a number of points. One point that they make, according to Shmuel, even though we're going to learn the Gemara, there might be a difference if the child is still living with the parents or not, says the Rishonim, Shmuel doesn't subscribe to that differentiation. Every katan, according to Shmuel, the metziah belongs to the father. And the Ritva goes on to explain that even if the child did not have that in mind, still Chazal assumed and says that every child means to turn over the metziah to the father, and therefore that becomes the reality. Lememra asked the Gemara, the Sava Shmuel, that Shmuel's opinion is cut and Leslie Zechila Nafshe Midaraisa, that a child cannot take ownership Midaraisa. Because the way the Rishonim explained this, if Shmuel were to hold that Midaraisa, if a child picks up a Mitzia, it becomes his, so then how can we undo that? If it doesn't become his, then we could understand. Chazal say the Midrabanan, maybe it should become his, and now we're saying it becomes the child's. But if we're saying that Midaraisa, it's his, how could we undo that? And as the Rabbeinu Peretz explains, if the halacha will be that the child has zechiya midaraisa, then we would say that the reason he keeps it is like we said by a wife, because of Eva. But the fact that Shmuel, says Rabbeinu Peretz, found it necessary to explain a different reason by a katan than by a wife, it's obvious that the katan's status vis-a-vis a metzia is different than the wife's status vis-a-vis the metzia. A wife's status regarding metzia is that it really ought to belong to her. Just Chazal said, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the Mishum Eva, she turns it over to the husband. But if a cotton, Shmuel came up with a new reason, it must be because a cotton is different than a wife, and a cotton doesn't have ownership on it with the raisa. The other pshat is, as we said, that if it belonged to him, the raisa, how could Chazal take it away from him? Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, is that true that a child doesn't have the ability to take ownership? The child doesn't have the ability to take ownership with the raisa. Vatanya asked the Gemara, we learned in a braisa, hasoiches apoyel, if somebody hires a worker, the halacha is, yilaket b'nai achrav, the son of that worker could collect what the father didn't pick up, and give it to the father, lemechza. But if he hire the worker, that the worker is going to get half of what he collects, shlish, revi, a third, a quarter, lo yilaket b'nai achrav, because he is, and this is a question going back to what we learned in the previous year. The question is regarding the halacha of leket shicha. And the question is, can one son collect behind him and it'll be considered matnas aniyim? So the Rishonim ask that the halacha is that lo yiska adam as a pehalim al menashe yilaka b'dayakrav, that you're not allowed to hire a worker with a stipulation that his children will get the matnas aniyim. So how could it ever be permissible? So the Rash in Masech Tepeya answers that that's only if there was a clear stipulation made that my son will collect the matnas aniyim behind me. If it wasn't clearly articulated, then the halacha is that given the different circumstances that we're learning, he may collect afterwards. The Pnei Yeshua, along the same line, says, it depends. If the employee is willing to take a lower salary, and the reason he's taking a lower salary is because he knows that his son will get the Lekut Shechel Peya, so that means you're doing business with Lekut Shechel Peya, and that's why it's not permitted. But if it wasn't spoken out, and his salary is not influenced by that, that's when the halacha is that he can. So if the father is getting paid as a sharecropper, he's getting paid a certain amount, then the halacha is, then he's considered an usher. And as Tosfos explains, that he does, that even if he's not necessarily an usher, but in as far as this property is concerned, the halacha is that he's considered an usher if this is the property he's working on. That's the way Tosfos learns. The Ritva says that since the property has a value, and the value is more than the amount that one is allowed to collect staka, so the Ritva suggests, since he's getting a percentage of the produce of that property, he's considered an owner of the property. Rabbi Yosemer, benkach benkach, under all circumstances, no matter how the payment structure, that they're allowed to collect, his wife and children are allowed to collect the lekat shechem peya. So the Gemara develops its point. If we're going to say that every child is able to take ownership, midaraisa, so now we could understand why, even though the father is working here, he's entitled to his own to collect, because chi kamalakit lenafshi kamalakit, he's picking it up for his own ownership. Vavar, and then when he turns it over to his father, vavar minekazachi, he gave it to his father, but it was his first midaraisa. However, says the Gemara, Eli Amrit, Cotton, less lezchil lenafshi, Cotton doesn't have the ability to take ownership midaraisa. So that means chi kamalakit, when he was collecting, avu asha here, as we explained, he was collecting directly for his father. And if he was collecting directly for his father, as we just explained, avu ishtubana, malakat amai ishtubana, malakat akrav, why could he collect and give it over to his father? It's taking like a shikapay from your own field. Answers the Gemara, Shmuel tam didan kamar. Shmuel was explaining the opinion of that Tana, however, the lay loisfirlay. And he disagrees, and he holds, he doesn't hold the Metzias Cotton Loviv, that he doesn't agree, and he says that regarding the question that if a child finds something, does it belong to the father or not? Ask the Gemara, but we're learning now that Reb Yossi's opinion, which Shmuel was explaining, does that the Cotton does become owner of a father's ass. It does have the ability to become the halachic owner of an asset midaraisa. Ask the Gemara, the Sabra Reb Yossi, indeed does Reb Yossi hold the cotton isle zechim midaraisa, the cotton has such halachic ability? Doesn't the Mishnah of Atanan, didn't the Mishnah Masechta Gittin daf nun tes amud beis teach us? Metzias cheres shayt of a cotton, yeshbe mishum gezel, mishum dark yisholim. Even though midaraisa, they don't become the owner of an asset if they find it, because we don't want to have a situation where people will grab away what they find. So the halacha is that Chazal said that it's theirs. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomer. If you take it away from the child, you've done full-fledged Gezel. Vomer Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda explained that it's not Gezel Megdaraisa. That if I take something away, if they take away Metzi that a child finds, that I will be over Gezel Megdaraisa. Gezel Gomer Midaraim. The question is it Gezel Midaraisa? Nafgamina. So if Rabbi Yossi holds it's Midarabonon, what's going to be the Nafgamina? Under all circumstances, Chazal are making a new rule that what a cotton finds becomes his. Answers the Gemara, the Nafgamina will be like Tzir Bedayonim. According to Rabbi Yossi, that it's Gezel Gomer Midarabonon, I could take somebody who grabs something away from, who grabs the metziah that a cotton finds, I could take him to Besdin and to get it back to the cotton. According to the Tanakhama, that it's a new gzera because of Darkei Shalom, so the Chazal did not institute it to the degree that I could take the person who took it away from the cotton to Besdin. But here we see that Reb Yossi's opinion is that even a cotton's ownership of Metziah is midrabanan. So why the Rabbi Yossi say ben kach ilaka benoy achrov if the cotton doesn't have the ability midaraisa to take ownership of this lekat shechapeya? So the father is not entitled, as we explained, to that lekat shechapeya, and the cotton is giving it to the father because it doesn't become his. So how could that be permitted? Ella amabaya says abaya. And there's a new halacha that Chazal instituted. The Mishnah Masechta Peya, Perachas Mishnah Aleph, discusses that, as we've been learning, that there are matnas anim that you have to leave in the field. Lechet Shichur Peya. At what point, which are only the anim, are entitled to Lechet Shichur Peya? The question is, at what point may anybody take it, that it's not considered anymore the property of the of Daniyim? And the Gemara the Mishnah says that Mishahokhabayan Namushis, the people who are elderly people, they walk with canes, and they're the slowest and the last people who are walking through a property. When they finish walking there, then the halacha is anybody can come in. So halacha says Rabbi is that even if the worker is considered like an usher, the field is considered like it's in a category that mahokabai and the mushas, anybody could take from the field, including the son, says the Gemara. Why? But it's not hokabai and the mushas. The lekha shechapeya haven't been touched at all. Why would we consider it in that same category? Answers the Gemara. The niyim gufayu meyeshe datayu. Because the niyim themselves don't think about this field anymore. Because savri, they are of the opinion, berei daheich malak delay. They're saying that if his son of the worker is coming there, there's no point in us trying to come there. And that's why that it's considered hefker immediately, that the son could get it, but not because he gets full fledged ownership of the raisa. Ask the Gemara, Amaleir, if that's the way you're learning, Amaleir of Adaba Masna Labaya, v'chimotal adam laharbitz ari b'toich sadeu, is a person allowed to bring a lion to his field? Kedei shiur anim v'yirvachu, are you allowed to do something that should create a situation that the Aniyim should give up hope of getting anything from this field? Of course, that is not permitted. So how could we say that, well, the other Aniyim see that the sons are coming, and therefore they're not going to come here? El Amar Rava explains Rava, also she'ena zoicha k'zoicha, even that the child is not really able to take ownership midiraisa, here that the Chazal gave him the ability. Ma tama, what's the reason? Aniim gufayu nichalu, because this is, so to speak, something that is understood, that all the poor people are satisfied with this. Why are they satisfied from this? Keicha de agri ledhu, milka b'nai basrayu. They're satisfied that we should have an arrangement that any time a poor person is hired to work, then halacha is that the children should get it. So just like when my fellow Ani is working in a field, Chazal allow his sons to take it. So Chazal will say the same for when I work in a field, my children will give it to me. And all the Anim are satisfied with such a setup. So of course the Rishonim asked the question, if that's the approach of the Aniyim, we're all satisfied that our children should be able to get the lekha shechapeya. I'll get it by me, you'll get it by you. So then why don't we say that if you hire an Ani, Chazal should have said that all the Aniyim will be satisfied, that when Ani is hired, he should get the lekha shechapeya. So then when the next Ani is hired for the next property, he'll get the shechapeya. Why don't we say that all the Aniyim are satisfied with that type of a situation as well? So the Tosfos Rosh answers, the Torah says, Salakit la'oni. And the halacha is that a person, even if he's a poor person, the Torah explicitly says that you're not entitled, if this is your field, or you're to work on this field, to take the lekha shechapeya. So as much as Chazal wanted to make this type of arrangement that may be satisfactory to all Aniyim, Chazal here weren't going to make that type of a arrangement, because they can't make an arrangement which is contrary to what the Torah says. And I saw that the Mefarshim actually explained this very much connected to what we have been discussing. And Chazal are saying that just like you're not allowed to make an arrangement that you should be entitled to your own lekha shechapeya, here too, Chazal made an arrangement that Chazal can make an arrangement that you can't hire yourself with that type of a stipulation. This is very much in the same type of halacha. Upligi says the Gemara, Shmuel, who said that a katan who finds something turns it over to his parents, is in disagreement on what Rabbi Bar Abba taught us. Amar Rabbi Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, loy gadol mamish. When the Mishnah speaks about a gadol, it doesn't mean an adult. Loy katan mamish doesn't mean a child. Rather, the way to understand it is gadol the samach shulchan aviv. If this child, if he's an adult, but he's still living by his parent, zeh katan. cotton, but if you have a cotton, but he's not being supported by his parents, zehu gadol. In other words, the point here is, the way I saw the Rishonim explain, is that the consideration here is something that we spoke about at the beginning of the shiur, and that is by regarding Eva. And when we speak about Eva, that's in a case where your father is supporting you. So if your father is supporting you, and your father is supporting you, so then the father is upset if you'll keep it for yourself. But if it's not that type of a situation, then the halacha is you may keep it for yourself. So I saw that the Imri Emes explains that we find that Rivka calls Yaakov b'no ha-kotten, and she calls Esav b'no ha-godl. And the question is, everybody knows that Yaakov was the kotten and that Esav was the godl. Why does the Torah have to describe it that way? So the pasuk itself answers, says the Imri Emes. Because the pasuk, when it describes Esav, it says kitzayid b'fiv. What is kitzayid b'fiv? Kitzayid b'fiv means that he supported himself. So since he supported himself, he's considered the b'no ha-godl. On the other hand, the Rivka, Yaakov, who was learning in yeshiva, and presumably, says the Imri Emes, because he was learning in yeshiva, was being supported by his parents, that's why he's considered b'no ha-kotten. The B'nai Yisoschar explains that we know that the Shabbos before Shabbos HaGadol, before Pesach, is called Shabbos HaGadol. And the question is, why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? So he explains that we know, the Gemara says many times, that what's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? And the Gemara says that the difference between Shabbos and Yontif is that Shabbos is Kaviyah V'Kaima. Shabbos is established. It comes every week, no matter what. Yontif is dependent on Besdin establishing the month, and accordingly, we'll know when Yontif is. So Shabbos is a godel. The Shabbos is independent, whereas Yontif is a dependent. So says the Bnei Yisoschar, the first Yontif in the year is Pesach. So as Pesach approaches, we want to indicate what differentiates Shabbos from Yontif. And how do we indicate what differentiates Shabbos from Yontif? The way we're able to make that indication is by saying Shabbos is HaGadol. It's like independent. It doesn't require any else. Yontif does. The Yismach Moshe explains that the pasuk in Parshas Miketz says that when the brother is ultimately brought Binyamin, he says to them, "Haza achichem hagadlum asher amartem v'yomer elokim yechoncha b'ni." And he asks a question. At that point, when Binyamin came to Mitzrayim, he was already 31 years old. He already has, as Rashi explains there, 10 children. And the pasuk is saying that the pasuk calls him achichem hakotten. So the Yisrach Moshe explains that, and he says that the Chovas Halvavos explains it this way, that as a person gets older and he has children, so it's harder for him to raise those children because he's not that young anymore. But explains the Yismach Moshe that Kodesh Baruch Hu created that parents, as they're older, have a greater love for the children than when they are younger. So says the Yisrach Moshe that Binyamin, and they keep those children, they keep on supporting their children, those children, even though they are already older and married and have their own children. Says the Yisrach Moshe, Binyamin was the youngest child. Since Binyamin was the youngest child, says the Yisrach Moshe, Yaakov Avinu kept on supporting Binyamin. So since he kept on supporting Binyamin, that's why Binyamin was called the Benoya Cotton, even though he's 31 years old. The Paiskim discuss that what is the halacha if you have a child, a son, who's already an older boy, being supported by his parents, but he's not living in his parents' home. He's living in yeshiva, he's living in a dormitory. And the Paiskim say that is, he's still considered Samach al Shulchan Aviv. The point being that since the parents are supporting him, he's considered still under the parents' control. But then I saw an interesting question that many Paiskim discuss. The Marsham discusses this, that if a couple gets married and the parents have agreed that they're going to support that couple, the son-in-law is learning in yeshiva, at what point are they considered Samach al Shulchan Aviv or not? So the Masham seems to say, and I think the Aruch HaShulchan says the same, that if they're being supported because there was an arrangement made between the father-in-law and the son-in-law that he will support him, then the halacha is that the father-in-law has to support, then it's not like he's dependent on his father-in-law. There's a financial arrangement. You learn and I'll support you. But if the support is not something that he was obligated to do, he's just supporting them, so then it may be considered that he's that he's Samach al Shulchan Aviv, which is very much consistent with what the Yismach Moshe said regarding the halacha of Binyamin. There's a question that the Paiskim discuss. What's going to be the halacha if you give Mishloach Manos to a katan? On one hand, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you fulfill the mitzvah. The Megillah says, Mishloach Manos ish l're'ehu, and a katan is considered re'ehu. But other suggest that if the katan is Samach al Shulchan Aviv, a katan that's Samach al Shulchan Aviv is not considered halachically an independent individual. And since halachically he's not considered an independent individual, so if you want to give the Shulchan Manos to the father, so then you should give it to the father. And if you want to give it to the katan, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of giving it to the katan if he is completely dependent on his parent. We learned in the Mishnah, Metzias Avdi v'Shivchasa Avreim, Harei Shel Atzman. Ask the Gemara, but why do they keep it? Amai, Loyei El Kapayel, shouldn't they be, they should be no different than an employee. V'Tanya, and the Braisa teaches us regarding employees, Metzias Payel Atzmai, what a worker finds remains his, and the Braisa explains, but Ma'adver Mamurim, when is the halacha that a worker finds a metziah remains his? When he was hired, b'zman sh'amaloi, when he was hired for a specific job, nacheshi mi'ayoyim, adari mi'ayoyim, when he was hired for a specific job. So therefore, as long as he's doing the job, anything else belongs to him. Aval amaloi, if the employer says to the employee, asei mi'ayoyim, hayoyim, you're hired, that whatever I'll need, your time belongs to me. So their halach is mitzias lebalabais. So ask the Gemara, isn't that the case of an Eved Ivri or Shivcha Ivri, She'am Avriya, that everything, their time belongs to their owner? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chibar Abba, Amrav Yochanan, Hocha be'Eved Noikiv Magroli Soskinen, that the Eved Ivri's job is that he's a diamond polisher. And Ein Rabbi writes L'Shanas Malacha Mecheres, and that's a very lucrative position, and he doesn't want him to do anything else. So anything else besides the time that he's doing this diamond polishing doesn't belong to his owner. Since it doesn't belong to his owner, therefore he keeps his metziah. Rav Amar, Be'evet Shemagvi Metziah Malach Deskinan. Where picking up the metziah doesn't disturb him from doing his work. And say if it doesn't disturb him from doing his work, then the halacha is he could pick up the metziah and keep it, and he's still able to do his job properly. There are rishonim that take a different approach, and their approach is that we're speaking here about a situation where the worker may lose time by picking up the metziah, and indeed he'll have to reimburse his employer for that time. Rapapama, kigon shesachar lakim metziahs, that the when was the halacha said that if a worker finds a metziah, it's given to the owner? That's if that's his job. What does that mean? That's his job. Hey chidami, how does somebody hire somebody to find metzias? Says the Gemara, at the time the Akma Agva Bekevri, the river overflows and fish come out, and any fish that are found belong to the people who pick it up, and this worker was hired for that job. And therefore, since he was hired for that job, then the halacha is he has to turn it over to his owner, to his employer. Under other circumstances, they could keep it. Ask the Gemara, but goes the Gemara a step further. We spoke about the Amar Avriya. So ask the Gemara, Hai Shifcha Echidami, exactly what is the case of the Shifcha? Hidaisi, Shtei Saris, if she's already an adult. So the question is, my boy Gabei, How is she still an Amma? Doesn't the Mishnah Masechet Kedushin Daf Yudalar Mebeis teach us Amma Avriya Koines Atzim B'Simanim? When she becomes a Gedoyla, she's no longer Amma Avriya. Vida Aloy Aisi Shtei Saris. And if she didn't bring the Shtei Saris yet, so ask the Gemara. Yes, alive. If her father's alive, Davu Hava, shouldn't it be given over to her father? Because we're learning that the Metziah of a Ketana, a cotton, is given to the father. And Ritva says, but this is a ketana that's not samach al shulchan aviyah. This is a ketana that's no longer working for her, that's relying on her father. She was sold as an amma of Riyah. So the Ritva says that even though she's not actually dependent on her father, but since the father has the ability to marry her off to whomever he wants, even though she was sold as an Amma Avriya, that is enough to make her be considered dependent on the father. So the question is, if she's at that age, why would there be a question that she should keep it? It should go to her father. Videlesalav, and if you'll say because her father is no longer alive, so then ask the Gemara, take Babamesis Av. So she should be released from being an Amma Avriya, because her father passed away. Because Rav Shlokish taught us in Masechet Gedushin, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, Amma Avriya Koines Atzma Misav, that even if an Amma Avriya was sold to somebody, the moment her father passes away, she is released. And the reason Rav Shlokish said so is Rishus Adam Mekav Chaymer, because the halacha is that when a girl becomes a Nara, she's still under her father's control. And the father could still marry her off to whom he wants. Only when she becomes a begeris, the halacha is, that is she no longer under the father's control. Whereas, when we speak of Amma Avriya, as soon as she's 12 years old, as soon as she becomes a Nara, the halacha is that she is released. So says Rav Shlokish. So we see that the father's hold on the Amma Avriya, the father's hold, is stronger than the Adon's hold. So if by the Adon, when he dies, the halacha is she goes out, certainly by a father dies, she should go out. So therefore, says the Gemara, if she has a father, the metziah should go to her father. And if she doesn't have a metziah, if she doesn't have a father, how could she be an Amma Avriya? Says the Gemara, v'lav etaisa Rish Lakish. But when we learned Masechta Kedushin, we learned that Rish Lakish's opinion was refuted. So how are you asking a question, says the Gemara, from Rish Lakish's opinion? Says the Gemara, the reason the Gemara mentions this conversation, to prove that this is another way we can learn that Rish Lakish's opinion was refuted. Says the Gemara, loy, that's not necessarily. Loylam de Isil Av, that the father is alive. If the question is, if the father is alive, so then how can we speak about that if she's a Amma Avriya, she keeps what she finds? So the Mamma Harein Shalahem, what does it mean when it said Harein Shalahem? Lafuka de Rabba. The halacha is that it's come to teach that it doesn't go, the halacha is that it doesn't go to the owner. But indeed, the Mishnah doesn't mean that it doesn't go to the owner, but she could keep it herself. But rather what the Mishnah means is that she doesn't go to the owner, but it does go to the father. So we learned further in the Mishnah that a wife who was divorced, even though he didn't give her the ksuba, she keeps what she finds. Ask the Gemara, Gersha Pshita, if they're divorced, so she's not his wife anymore. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Kumayaskinen, the Gereshus, Venom Gereshus. The Gemara often speaks about a situation where a husband threw the get towards the wife, but Safa Karavloi. We don't know if it's closer to him or to her. If it's closer to her, she is indeed divorced. If it's closer to him, she's not divorced. The Amar Reb Chaseira Amar Shmuel, Kamak Sham Chachamim, wherever the Mishnah, the Gemara, uses the status of Megreshus and Megreshus, Baal Achayiv Ben Zonasel, her husband has to continue supporting her because we can't establish that she's really divorced. So says the Gemara, Tamamai Amar Rabbanan, why did Chazal say, as we started the Shia today, that the halacha is Metzias Ish L'Baala, that whatever a woman finds is turned over to her husband, because we wanted to avoid Eva, and that's why if she'll keep her Metzia, it'll create a situation of Eva between the husband and the wife. Here, we're there in this category where he's divorcing her. There was only a question if the get was closer to her or not. We're not worried about Eva. Isle Eva Veva, we don't worry about Eva, and that's why the halacha allows her to keep the Metzia. Says the Mishnah Matzah Shtari Chayiv, if Shtari Chayiv were found, and we know that who is the Malva and the Loiva. And there's a document that says that the Loiva owes the Malva money, and it's found on the street. But now we don't know who dropped it. Did the Loiva drop it, and therefore it should be returned to him and he won't have to pay, or did the Malva drop it? Says the Mishnah, Im yesh bei nechreis nechazda, if this document has a chreis nechosim, which we always explain means that if the loiva will not have the ability to pay the loan, we could go after anybody who bought assets from him, layachsa, shebezdin from him. Bezdin is going to go after the lekuchas, and it may be inappropriate to go after them because the loiva may be dropped it, and this is no longer an active IOU. But if there is no achrayis nechosim in this document, shein bezdin nefraim mehem, so bezdin is not going after the lekuchas. So the halacha is that under those cases, yachser, we give it back to the malva because the loiva has the lekuchas and not at risk. There's a question, Rishon, what does that mean? Does it mean yachsa, we give it back to the malva, and he could collect with it or not? Pasha Peshat is, if you're giving it back to him, he could collect with it. But we'll see after we learn the Gemara if that's the Peshat. Whether there's a clause of achrayis nechosim, or there is no clause of achrayis nechosim, the halacha is lo yachsa, we don't give back this document to the malva, because shmnei bezdin from him, under all circumstances, Bezdin is going to go after the lekuchas, because there's a concept which we're going to be learning in our shir called achrayis toisofer. If that clause is missing in the shtar, it's understood that it was a mistake. Everybody who does a deal agrees to that obligation, and since everybody agrees to that obligation, so therefore the halacha is that we're going to go after the lekuchas, and if we're learning that we're trying to protect the lekuchas, that's why, since we are trying to protect the lekuchas, the halacha will be that it should not be returned under all circumstances, say the Rabbanan, to the Malva.